Eternal Father and loving God, we bow now in thy holy presence, and we thank thee that there is one at thy right hand who is interceding for us even now. We bless thee for the ministry of our great high priest, who has entered into the Holy of Holies and is seated there at thy right hand. O gracious Father, we bless thee for the one who is a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, the one who is without beginning and without end. We bless thee for the one who is God forever. And our loving Father, we come tonight and pray that through thy word we will indeed behold the Savior. We will behold the Lamb of God. We will behold him who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And yet, Lord, we know that it was for sinners he came. So our God, bless tonight our time around the Word. Loving Father, speak to our hearts and challenge us. Gracious Lord, give to us a burden for souls. We do ask all these things in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. I'd like to leave with you just a few words from verse 53. We read the verse, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. We might take those words for our text tonight, and they did not receive him. When the Lord Jesus ordained his 12 disciples, the Lord surnamed the two brothers, James and John, Boanerges. Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. The Lord was obviously aware of a characteristic peculiar to the two brothers that he so named them. And I believe that characteristic comes to the fore in the passage of Scripture we have before us tonight. For if you read there in verse 48, and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, now here's John speaking, one of the sons of thunder. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. You know, whenever you look at the life of John, and you consider John's life and witness and testimony as it is seen in the Gospels, you wouldn't think of John as being a son of thunder. You wouldn't think of calling him Boanerges. He was the one who, of course, leaned on the Master's breast. He was the one that whenever he wrote his gospel always referred to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. He never sought to promote himself or promote his own name. And we would say what John did here is out of character. But the Lord, of course, knew more about John than we do. And here John saw one casting out devils in the Lord's name, and John spoke up and told this individual he ought not to be doing such a thing. And the Lord Jesus said unto him, forbid him not. John, you've stepped out of turn. You've spoken out of turn. You shouldn't have said that. Here John had thundered this word in the ears of this individual who was casting out devils in the Lord's name. And the Lord said, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. This man's not against us. He's casting out devils in my name. He's not against us. If he's not against us, then he must be for us. Then we look at verse 54. John once more speaks. This time he's joined by his brother James, sons of thunder. The Samaritans in a certain village had refused to accept Christ. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, and I think that it is significant that Peter's not mentioned here, because poor Peter so often gets blamed for things, and certainly he's often blamed for speaking out of turn. Well, we can't blame it on Peter this time, for it was James and John. And when James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, as Elias did? Now we must first of all commend James and John for their zeal, because I believe that's what prompted this outburst. They were zealous for the Lord. They had been hurt by the Samaritans refusing the Lord and refusing him an entrance into their village. And so they were hurt and they felt it. But this was their response. They said, Lord, we will command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elias did. Oh, here they have scripture now to support what they proposed to do. Yes, they were zealous, but unfortunately, it was a zeal that was not according to knowledge. And here they were quoting scripture out of context. Here they were taking an example from the life of Elijah. And here they were saying, well, Elias did this, then we can do it. They were quoting scripture out of context. And the Lord, verse 55, we're told he turned and rebuked them that spoken out of turn. The proposal that they had put forth, the Lord rebuked it. The Lord refused it and rebuked them, and he said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. And here were two of the Lord's disciples, and John, who lived so close to the Lord. And yet, in this incident, we see how unlike the Lord he was. And this would teach us that no matter how closely we live to God and walk with him, really, were still so unlike him. So much further for us to go before we are like Jesus Christ, before we are conformed to the image of his person. And then, of course, there was the third occasion when another sin was committed by John against charity, and is recorded against his name. On that occasion, he and his brother James, once more, asked that they might be seated, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand of the Lord in the kingdom of heaven. And here these sons of thunder once more spoke out of turn, because they were promoting themselves and putting themselves over and above their fellow disciples. Now once more, I believe it was because of zeal. But it wasn't according to knowledge. And so now we see that on three occasions, John and a couple of occasions with his brother James, had grieved the Lord, had spoken out of turn. And the Lord on each occasion had to rebuke him. The indiscretions of John, whereas the result of zeal that wasn't according to knowledge. And John wanted to summons fire from heaven upon the Samaritans because they did not receive him. That was the reaction of the disciples to the attitude of the Samaritans. But tonight we want to consider the Lord, to want to be taken up with James and John. Tonight we want to be taken up with Christ. Want to see the Lord in this matter. Let us first of all consider in this text, as we read it again, and they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. They did not receive him. Isn't it just as well that the Lord did not have the same attitude to the Samaritans as Peter and John had? Isn't it just as well? They wanted to summons fire from heaven and consume them. Isn't it just as well the Lord didn't adopt the same attitude? I tell you, it is just as well for sinners that Jesus Christ is who he is. For we know the Lord could summons fire from heaven at any moment and consume the ungodly. But he doesn't do it. First of all, let us consider the Master and his mission. Verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. There we have the Master and his mission. Our attention is first of all drawn to the Lord and his mission. He was going up to Jerusalem. We are told that he had set his face, yea, as a flint, to go to Jerusalem. First of all, we note here the day. And it came to pass when the time was come. Now that day was drawing very near, ever nearer, when the Lord Jesus would be led to the place of his crucifixion. This incident here happened approximately 3 months before the Lord's crucifixion. But the day is drawing very near. That day was fast approaching. that day when the Lord Jesus would go to the cross and there on the cross finish the work that the Father had sent him to do. But let us remember this, that as that day was drawing near and fast approaching, and the Lord Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, there to be crucified, later to rise from the dead, then this was the final journey. This was the last time that the Lord Jesus would pass this way. He would not go this way again before his crucifixion. He would not enter into the villages of the Samaritans before his crucifixion. This was his final journey. Notice again what it says. And it came to pass. And the time was come. It came to pass. And the time was come. Now, if it was the last time that the Lord Jesus would pass this way on his journey to Calvary, then it was the last opportunity for these Samaritans to receive Jesus Christ. It was their final opportunity, just as it was the Lord's final journey before Calvary. And that day, that final opportunity, in the words of verse 51, had come to pass. That final opportunity, the time had come, the time of the last opportunity, had finally come for those who dwelt in this certain village of the Samaritans. And for sinners today, that hour will come to pass. That final opportunity will come. The time of that final opportunity will come. Some souls today have yet a number of opportunities to receive Christ. But for others, their final opportunity has come and come even today. Because before the night is out, the death dew will be on their brow. The death rattle will be in their throat. And they will pass sometime tonight into outer darkness and their last opportunity will have passed them by. It came to pass. The time was come. Let us notice, secondly, the determination of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up. Now, there are those who believe that this phrase has reference to his being lifted up on the cross. I believe that it has reference to the Lord being received into heaven. It has reference to that time when the Lord will return to heaven. Because the word that is received, that is here for the word received, is nowhere else in the New Testament. It's the only place for the word here. In this verse 51, and the word received means here to be received back again. To receive back again. So that would indicate to us that Luke is referring to that time when the Lord would be received back into heaven. And so it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, received back again to heaven. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Here's the Lord's determination. Now we know there were times prior to this when people would have taken Christ and they wanted to stone him to death and they wanted to cast him over a hillside and plunge him headlong down. But the Lord Jesus left them because his hour was not yet come. But now his hour has come. He is drawing nearer, nearer still to Calvary. And we see here his determination. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And we know, of course, that at Jerusalem he was to be tried and put to death. Yet Jesus Christ steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing all that was before him. Nevertheless, he went steadfastly on. Sinners cannot question Christ's love for them when they look at such verses as this, that Jesus Christ was going to Jerusalem to die for sinners. He was going there to open up the fountain in the house of David. He was going there to open a fountain that was filled with blood, that sinners may plunge into that fountain and lose all their guilty stains. And he was going there to die for sinners. And the verse says that he went steadfastly, knowing that before him there was the betrayal, there was the unjust trial, there was the mockery, the scourging, the crown of thorns, the spitting and the nails and the spear and the agony of the cross. Yet Jesus Christ went on steadfastly. Sinners cannot question Christ's love for them in the light of verses like these. How can sinners then refuse Jesus Christ when they see what he did for them and how determined he was to go to the cross to die for them? Then we have the directive. For we read in verse 52, and he sent messengers before his face. He set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers before his face. The Lord Jesus set his face in the direction of Jerusalem, in the direction of Calvary. And he sent his messengers along that same road. They went before his face. And the directive was given to his disciples, to his messengers. They were to go before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. He called the messengers. He sent His messengers. That, of course, tells us that they went before His face with a message. And what was the message? The message was Jesus is passing this way, and He's passing this way today as we sung that hymn tonight. You know, the Lord is still sending out His messengers. He's still sending out His messengers. He's sending out His messengers into the four corners of this earth. He's sending His messengers into the mission field, sending His messengers into church pulpits. He's sending His messengers into the streets, the highways, and the byways of towns and cities. And the message is, Jesus is passing this way. They are declaring the message of the gospel of saving grace, the gospel of Christ, and they are being sent by the Lord with a message. And every time we preach the gospel from this pulpit, we have been sent as a messenger of God with a message from heaven, a message from God Himself. Secondly, we have the Master and His messengers. We've considered the Master and His mission. Look at the Master and His messengers. Verse 52, we're told that He sent messengers before His face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him. Here we have, first of all, the road that they traveled. Now it is said that pilgrims going up to Jerusalem for the Passover would not have traveled this way. They would have not gone through any of the villages where Samaritans were found. They would not have gone that way. Yet, that's the way the Lord was going. That's the way the Lord was going to send His messengers. Notice carefully what we have in verse 52. We're told the Lord sent His messengers before His face, and they entered, and they went, and entered into a village. Now there were many villages of the Samaritans they could have entered into. There were many other villages they could have entered into with their message, but no, they entered into a certain village, into a village. And they had gone there under the command and the directive of the Lord. Here we see that the Lord was giving the Samaritans in this village last chance. He was bringing, as it were, the gospel to them. And the people in that village didn't know it. How privileged they were that the gospel was being brought to them. And the man or the woman or the young person who hears the gospel of Jesus Christ ought to realize how privileged they are. That God in His sovereignty and in His providence has brought the gospel of Christ to them. When thousands, yea, millions of souls in this world tonight have never heard the gospel, have yet to hear the gospel. There are many villages, I would believe, in Canada that don't have a gospel witness. There are many villages, I'm sure, in this great nation where there is not one man to be found who is preaching the whole counsel of God and telling sinners their need of Christ. How privileged then were those that were in that village. Let us consider also the readiness. We're told again in verse 52, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready. What were they to make ready for? They were to make ready for the Lord's coming. They were to prepare for the Lord's coming. That's why the Lord had sent his messengers before him to tell people the Lord is coming this way. Of course, we know the Lord is coming again. And how many tonight have prepared for that coming? How many have made ready for the Lord's return? How many will be ready when the Lord breaks through the clouds with 10,000s of his angels? How many will have made ready? How many will be prepared for the Lord's coming? That's what the messengers were telling the people in that village of Samaria. They were to make ready for the Lord's coming. Many tonight have made no preparation. Many tonight are not prepared to meet their God. The talk today is of preparing for the year 2000. Far more important issue. It's not the year 2000, but eternity. And are men and women prepared for eternity? Are they prepared and ready to meet God? Are they prepared and ready for the Lord's coming? For he's coming this way. Notice their rejection. The messengers had gone into the village of the Samaritans, exhorted them to make ready for him. Verse 53, and they did not receive him. It's put very simply, isn't it, and bluntly. Seems as though there was no debate about it, no thought given to it. It just simply says, they did not receive him. Plain and simple. They obviously, I believe from what we have in verse 53, they gave no thought to it at all. Should we or should we not? They just simply did not receive him. They gave no thought to the Christ who was coming that way. They gave no thought with regard to the consequences of rejecting Christ. They gave no thought to the choice. They made a choice. They made a decision. They would not receive Him, but it appears they gave it no thought. My dear Christian friend, tonight, how many today have given no thought about where they'll spend eternity, and given no thought to the consequences of rejecting Jesus Christ. They reject Him out of hand. They do not entertain the gospel, not for a moment. It's always interesting, I feel, to find out the reason why people refuse Christ. If they're able to give you a reason, that is. What was the reason the Samaritans gave? Well, we're told in verse 53, and they did not receive Him because. Here's the reason now. Because. His face was as though He would go to Jerusalem. It doesn't seem to be much of a reason for rejecting Christ. You see, the city of Samaria was some 40 miles north of Jerusalem. And the Samaritans would have preferred that if the Lord was going up, He would go on to Samaria and not to Jerusalem. The reason? They were prejudiced. That was the reason. Because the Lord went to Jerusalem instead, as they felt, instead of going to Samaria. And they missed the last opportunity. It passed them by. They allowed it to pass them by. They missed the opportunity of receiving Jesus Christ because of their prejudice. And I know people who wouldn't darken the door of a free Presbyterian church because they're prejudiced. Even though they know they'll hear the gospel there, and they feel that if the choice is theirs and they're going to get saved, they'll get saved anywhere but a free church. Of course, it's not in their hands. Salvation is in the hands of God. But because their prejudice, of their prejudice, they'll go down to a lost eternity rather than come to a church like this and hear the gospel and be saved. Isn't it amazing what people will allow to keep them from coming to Christ? With some it's a bottle of booze. With others it's a cigarette. With others it's a gamble on the horses or a gamble in the bingo hall. And they'd rather have these things as salvation. And they choose these things, and these things keep them from coming to Christ. It was riches that kept the young ruler from coming to Christ. Go, sell all that thou have, and give to the poor, and take up thy cross and follow me. And the young man was exceeding sorrowful because he had many riches. Sad, isn't it? That souls today will place greater value on these things that will rot and decay through time. They'll place more value on these things than they will on eternal matters, even the salvation of their soul. So that was the reason. Finally, we have the Master and His mercy. Isn't it good to have such a Savior as we do have? Isn't it good to know one like Jesus Christ? Verse 54, and when the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? And I must confess tonight, sometimes we feel like James and John. We feel like doing the same thing. When we see how the Lord Jesus is treated today, when we hear the things that are said about Him today, sometimes we feel we had the power to summon fire from heaven. And we say, how long, O Lord? How long? We wonder, we shudder sometimes. When we hear some of the things that are said about Christ, we wonder why God does not send fire. That is just the mercy of God. It's the long suffering of God. That's the grace of God. Because remember the days when we were away from Him, when we sinned against God and against heaven. God could have summoned us into eternity then. No, He showed His mercy. And here the Lord again demonstrates His mercy. He turns to the disciples and He rebukes them and saying, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. There you have their proposal of the disciples. Lord, will thou that we command fire come down from heaven? Notice the disciples said, Lord, wilt thou? Lord, is this thy will that we do this? No, it wasn't the Lord's will. That was their proposal. Wasn't the Lord's will. The Lord has on occasions sent a thunderbolt from heaven. And He has dealt a death blow to those who have mocked Him. So sinners should be fearful. But the Lord is merciful. And He showed mercy to the people of that city, or that village. And it wasn't the Lord's will that fire should come down from heaven. And when we think of it, for those who reject Christ, and when they have rejected Him for the last time, they'll experience the fire of But it won't be fire from above. It will be fire from beneath. Then you have the purpose. The Lord reminded His disciples of His purpose in life and coming to the world. But He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy. It's sin that destroys men's lives. It's the devil that destroys men's lives. Jesus says, I am come to save men's lives. The world carries on the work of destruction. Sin carries on the work of destruction. I am come to save. I am come to save. Know that the lives of those who have been destroyed by sin and the devil would realize Jesus Christ, that there is one in Jesus Christ who has come to save. To destroy sin and the works of the devil. And then finally the path. Short sentence. But my, it speaks volumes with regard to the people in that village who did not receive him. For it says, and they went to another village. Someone else would be afforded, an opportunity. Someone else would have an opportunity of receiving Jesus Christ. And the Lord went to another village. The Lord will not go, and the Lord will not stay where he's not wanted. Oh, that souls today would receive Jesus Christ ere he passes them by for the very last time.